rest of you, we're gonna focus on three main scripture passages today. Three main ones, and each point we look at is going to have a different one. So if you want to flip back and forth, you can in your Bible or on your phone, whatever you got. If you want to do it just watching the screen, they'll be up there as well. But if you want to start, we'll be in Galatians chapter 2 to start off this morning. We're starting a new sermon series talking about who Jesus is for us, who he is. And that might seem like a pretty easy question, but I hope not to put doubt in your mind over the next few weeks, but I hope to grow what we believe Jesus to be, not only mentally, but in our hearts, in our lives, how we show people Jesus. I hope all that happens over the next few weeks. But we're going to start off today, and Jesus is, for us today, the one who lives inside believers. If you're a believer in Jesus this morning, guess what? Jesus Christ lives inside of you. Now, if you're not a believer this morning in Jesus, that might seem kind of strange. It might seem kind of weird that we say somebody lives inside of you. And it is strange. It's not of this world. So it's okay. It's okay to think that's strange. It doesn't sound right. That's right, because it's not of this world. It's not what the world would tell you. It's what Scripture tells us, what we know to be true. But he's the one who lives in believers. If I ask you this, how do you think, you don't have to respond, but how do you think you would respond? If I ask you, how clear is it as a follower of Jesus to know what it means to live a Christian life? How clear is that to you? You might say stuff like, well, I've got gratitude for what Jesus did for me. I mean, I'm thankful. That's good. That's good. You might say, well, I'm just glad he saved me. And that's good too. Maybe, though, if I ask that question, maybe when I asked it today, maybe if you've thought about it or if you go home and think about it, maybe your answer is a little muddy. Maybe you don't know how to answer that question. How clear is it to know what it means to live a life, a Christian life for Jesus? That, you might not have the best answer in the world. You might not know what it means. Your answer, you might stumble around. You know, when somebody asks you something, you don't really know the answer, but you know enough to be dangerous, and you kind of stumble around a little bit. It's about how some of us, probably a lot of us are as Christians, but there's a profound and a very deep reality in the very center of our faith, and it's what we're talking about today, is that Jesus lives in the lives of believers. When somebody asks you, or if you try to think about what it means to live a Christian life, Jesus has to be in the center of that answer, because he lives in the middle of our lives. And that statement doesn't just mean it's a change for our eternity, because we like to talk about that. Oh, yeah, I gave my life to Jesus, have a home in heaven, everything's good. It's not just a change in eternity, but it's a change in our daily lives as Christians. That statement that Jesus lives in the lives of believers is a statement that changes our lives every single day. So what's it mean? I've got three things. Like I said, we're going to go through three different sections of Scripture, all in the New Testament, but kind of bouncing around a little bit. I want to ask the question, and I want to answer the question for us this morning. What's it mean for Jesus to live in believers? What's that mean? Because you might be here this morning, you might be a Christian, and that answer to that question I asked earlier, how clear is it to live a Christian life, to know what it means to live a Christian life? That answer you give might be a little muddy. It might be a little you might be a little uncertain about it. Well, I want to help you answer that this morning. And you might be here this morning. You might be listening online. You might not know what it means to live for Jesus. You might not know what it means to live a Christian life. We want to answer that question for you this morning. First thing I want to look at in Galatians 2:20 shows us that what it means to be for Jesus to live in the lives of believers means that we share in Jesus' crucifixion. Now that sounds fun, doesn't it? We share in Jesus' crucifixion. But here's what it says in Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. There it is. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Doesn't sound like a very good ordeal in verse 20, does it? I've been crucified with Christ. Doesn't sound fun, but it's a necessary picture that we have to see when we understand what it means for Jesus to live inside of us. Probably none of us will ever be crucified. Now, we can't guarantee that, but I can guarantee something. You will never be crucified for the forgiveness of your own sins. That will never happen. You could try it, but it won't ever work, okay? You will never be crucified to take your sins away. So if he says he's being crucified with Christ, what's it mean? It's just a spiritual identifying with Jesus. That's all it is. He's not saying, Paul's not saying, although Paul died a pretty bad death, he's not saying, I'm going to be crucified on a cross just like Jesus did. No, he's spiritually identifying with Jesus. Here's how. Jesus was crucified on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, right? So our lives, when they're crucified with Christ spiritually, our sins die that same day that we're crucified with Christ. Just like Jesus died on a cross physically, spiritually, our sins are crucified with Christ. We're forgiven. Our sins go away that day. They're dead. Jesus' crucifixion was a death of his life. Being crucified with Christ means that we put to death our old sinful life that we used to live. Life physically died with Jesus on the cross. Life, our old way of life with sin in it and being overtaken by sin dies when we are crucified with Christ. Jesus' crucifixion was him surrendering to God's will. And being crucified with Christ means we surrender our will. Means we surrender our desires. We surrender our likes and our purposes. We surrender even our future to Jesus. And Jesus said we ought to do it daily. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone wants to follow after me, if anybody wants to be a believer, let him deny himself. There's crucifying yourself. Take up his cross daily. There's a pretty good crucifixion reference. And follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. When we're crucified with Christ, it impacts every part, every area, every section of our life, every day of our life. He says in verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Do you ever catch that he doesn't say, I crucified myself with Christ? Or somebody else crucified me with Christ? He said, I have been crucified with Christ. So somebody else had to do the crucifying. He doesn't say who it is, but we know who it is. The verb, if you look in the verb there, in that phrase, in the Greek, it means a few different things. Number one, it points to the fact that it's a once for all time happening. He was crucified, and he never has to crucify his sins again. He never has to give his life to Jesus again. He never has to die to his old self again. That happens once. You never have to be forgiven again. It happens once. I have been crucified. You repent, you turn from your old life, you're saved through your faith in Jesus. That happens once. But it happens once, and the verb also suggests that it continues to happen. It's not that you have to keep doing anything, because it doesn't say Paul crucified himself. It's he says, I've been crucified. So it's a one-time thing, but it continues on. Really, the way you could read this is, I have been crucified, and I will continue to be crucified with Christ. You connecting yourself to the person of Jesus from that moment until the end of time, you're connecting yourself to him in every part of your life. That's what it means to be crucified with Christ. And like we've already said, it suggests, that phrase there suggests that crucifixion wasn't Paul's work to do. And it's not our work to do, to crucify ourselves with Christ. It's God's work. It's God's work that crucifies us with Christ. He's the one who forgives. He's the one who saves. He's the one who brings us back from the dead of crucifixion. He's the one who does that. He says, goes on and says, I no longer live. We died ourselves is what that means. He says, I live by faith. We live for Jesus. Then at the end, he says something kind of strange. He says, if I don't set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. You're like, what's he talking about righteousness and law for? Because Paul's saying, I tried to do it that way. I tried to do it following all the rules and being really good. I tried to do it that way. He said, if I continue to do it that way, then Jesus died for nothing if it's up to me. But Paul knew it wasn't up to him. He knew it was up to Jesus, who he was crucified with in his life. He's saying he died to his old way of living. He died to that way of trying to impress God or trying to do enough to gain God's favor, trying to be good enough, trying to save himself. He died to that. When he died to his sins, he died to that way of life as well, trying to be good enough. You know what that looks like today? Paul died to all the laws and trying to be good. Sometimes we look at it and we go, yeah, but I volunteer a whole lot. And that's probably going to do something good for me one day. No, when you die, when you're crucified with Christ, you say, you know what? I'm dying to that. I'm not trying to volunteer all the time anymore. You should still volunteer. But I'm not trying to do that to gain God's favor anymore. I'm not doing it. Or, you know what? I'm a really good parent, and I put a lot of time into my kids, and I really try hard to make their experience as a child the best I can. That's great. You should be a great parent, but that's not going to crucify you with Christ. When you crucify yourself with Christ, your kids and your family are important to you, but in light of what Jesus has done, they're important to you. You know what that also looks like? That means you bring your kids to church. That means you let them go to children's church. That means you bring them to youth group. That means you get them involved in stuff. Because we'll sure drive them around and take them to baseball practice and hockey practice. I don't know if anybody does hockey, but take them to clubs and we'll do all that stuff, take them to friends' houses. We do that a lot. And then we say, well, you know, it's just not a good time to have that church stuff. Well, you know, it's a long way to drive. But when we die to our self, when we're crucified with Christ, we turn from that old way of thinking and that old way of living, those are things that change. Those are things that change. Paul was saying it, that he tried to live his life according to the law, and it wouldn't work. It wouldn't save him. Didn't make him look any better in God's sight. And so he was crucified with Christ. He allowed God to take his old way of life away. He allowed God to shed a new light on the life that he lived. When we share in Jesus' crucifixion, when we die to ourselves, Jesus lives in us. Second way he lives in us is that we share in Jesus' resurrection. Now that sounds better, doesn't it? Crucifixion we don't like. Resurrection sounds better. We like resurrection. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, Paul also said this. What should we say then? I love these first two verses. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may multiply? He's saying, what are y'all saying? We should just keep on sinning just because God's going to forgive us? And look what he says in verse 2. Absolutely not. Or maybe in your version you have it, it says, by no means. I think if I was writing it, I would say, you better not. Better not. Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin, crucified with Christ, right, still live in it? Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Crucifixion. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, resurrection, by the glory of God the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, crucified with Christ, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Because we share in the crucifixion of Christ, we also share in Jesus' resurrection. If we say we've died to our sin, we can't keep living as sinful people. Our thoughts should not be, I'm okay doing this because God's going to forgive me. Especially if you do it before you do it. Well, I know this is going to be wrong, but I'm going to do it because God will forgive me. He's promised to forgive me. Paul says you better not do that. It's not a sign of dying to yourself to make that kind of statement to God, or even in your heart. Resurrection means we walk, verse 4 says, in a newness of life. What's that new life look like? It means sin is powerless, or it can be powerless in your life if you allow it. If you allow God to work, if you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, sin in your life can be powerless. Sin is defeated by the crucifixion. It's defeated. It's forgiven. And by the resurrection, it's shown that it's defeated. Why wouldn't sin be powerless? Why wouldn't sin be defeated when Jesus lives in us? Why in the world would we say, yeah, Jesus lives in me, but I have a hard time not sinning. I have a hard time, you know, in this area or in that area. Why don't we just give it to Him? Why don't we just let Him take over? Why would Jesus live in us and then we have all these struggles with sin that we do? And I'm not saying you'll never sin, but you ought not keep on doing the same old things and getting stumbled up. If Jesus lives inside of you, that doesn't make sense. Sharing in the resurrection empowers us spiritually to live a life that looks like Jesus. When we share in His resurrection, the life we live looks more and more like Jesus. We talked about it a few Sunday nights ago. It's the idea of sanctification. You're becoming more and more like Jesus. And if we have a life that claims to have experienced salvation and forgiveness through Jesus, but we don't see a death to sin, because we still struggle with it, we've not seen ourselves crucified with Christ, and we don't see a power over sin in our life, which is what the resurrection brings us, we're not sharing in the life of Jesus. Again, I'm not asking for perfection. I'm not perfect, okay? The Pope's not perfect. I don't care. You name whoever. Billy Graham wasn't perfect. Jesus is the only perfect one, and He was crucified, and He rose from the dead. And when we share in those two things, our life looks different. It looks different. I read this in a book this week. It says, salvation that does not transform is no salvation at all. When we say we're saved, we say Jesus lives in us, but yet our lives don't look different. That's not salvation. It's not salvation. Resurrection, you might like the idea of that. Power over sin, defeated. We don't have to worry about it anymore. We just give it to Jesus. But resurrection doesn't happen unless death happens. Resurrection can't happen unless something dies. You understand that? We can't live a life empowered by sharing in Jesus' resurrection until we've died to ourselves. Crucifixion, crucified with Christ, dying to ourselves has to come first. Dying to our sins, letting God nail them to the cross, sharing in the crucifixion has to come first, and then resurrection happens. In verse 5, there's a promise in that resurrection. If we've been united with Him in the likeness of His death, what was the likeness of His death? Boom, crucified on a cross. If we have been united with Him in the likeness of His death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of His resurrection. That's a promise. That's a pretty good promise. If you'll allow Him to crucify you and your sins and your life beside Him to the cross and nail it up there, and your old life is gone and you give it to Jesus, He comes and lives in you, and because of that, you share and also in His resurrection, where sin is powerless and it's defeated in your life. But it's not just the crucifixion. It's not just sharing in Jesus' resurrection, because that's exciting. That makes the crucifixion exciting, to know that there's a resurrection, but it doesn't stop there. A lot of us would like to think that, and a lot of us act like that. Well, I've been crucified with Christ. I feel the power over sin. I come to church, and I want to feel good. I want to leave. I want to feel like I'm powerful again, like God has given me this power over sin. He's defeated the sin in my life. I want to sing upbeat songs that make me feel like that. I want a preacher to preach a sermon that makes me feel good. I want to pray prayers that make me feel good. But there's one more thing we forget. That's your whole life past that point. You can't come to church and say, I want the resurrection power in my life. I want to share in Jesus' resurrection. I want to feel good. But I'm going to leave here, and I'm going to go Monday through Saturday, and I'm going to live however in the world I want, and I'm not going to stay connected to Jesus. I'm not going to live for Him, but I'm going to come back next Sunday, and I'm going to make myself feel good again because I did what I think I was supposed to do. Listen to John 15, 1 through 5. I am the true vine, Jesus said. By the way, the last thing we have to do is share in Jesus' life. Share in his life. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit, so it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. When we think of salvation, we like to think about forgiveness. We like to think about power over sin. We like to think about heaven, right? But what about how we're supposed to live with Jesus living inside of us? Not all the good things that we've been created. We've nailed our old self to the cross. We've been resurrected through him. We have power over sin now. We've been forgiven. All this exciting stuff. But what about how we live? Now that Jesus is inside of us, how do we live? It's easy. We have to stay connected with Jesus. Jesus says, remain in me. How do we remain in Jesus? And there's something I've got to say before this, because when you're first saved, when you first given your life to Jesus, when you first nailed your old self to the cross, you allow God to do that. And when you first understood that you were forgiven, you have power over sin, and you saw him working in your life, and you saw him doing things that only God could do in your life, you got pretty excited, didn't you? It's exciting when that happens at first. But then life happens, and people come in, and old Satan uses everything he can to get you off track, to not be connected with Jesus. So how do we remain, stay connected in Jesus? Well, he tells us in here. Number one, he says, you're clean because of the word. It reminds us to stay in God's word. Stay in this. Read this thing. There's life in here for you, okay? You want to know how to live? You want to be encouraged in how to live your life every day for Jesus now that he lives inside of you? Read this thing. Second thing we can do is we can walk in obedience. He says you're unable to produce fruit unless you remain in me. That fruit are just the things that you ought to do as a Christian. You ought to be compassionate. You ought to love people. You ought not say things that take you away from Christ. You ought not watch things that lead your mind. Remember the little song we used to say when we were little? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. All that stuff, when you're careful, that's producing fruit because you're doing the godly things that you ought to do. He says you can't do that unless you remain in him. You got to walk in obedience with God. And then you have to depend on him. And the last thing he says, you can do nothing without me. Nothing. You can do nothing without me. You want to remain in Jesus? You got to depend on Jesus to remain in him. And to do all of that, you stay connected to him through the vine that he is. And did you know that vines have life? When you're connected to Jesus, you're connected to life. When you say Jesus lives inside of you, he's the vine. He's the taproot. He's the thing that brings all the nutrients to you. Everything you need as the branch comes through him, the vine. Life comes through him. And when we're connected to that vine, it's going to show. I had a pear tree knock over last year sometime, or this spring sometime, I don't remember. Last spring maybe, whenever we had a big storm come through and it blew a bunch of stuff down and had a pear tree just lay over, root wide and all, just laid over. And so I thought, well, that's it for that. I don't have to mow under it anymore. That's good. So I cut it off a little stump, and when I did, the root wad just flopped back into the hole and everything was fine. And I thought, well, one day I'll get a I'll get a front end loader or something and get that out, or I'll try to pull it out with a truck or whatever and then fill the hole back up. I'll take care of it one day. Well, one day has never come yet. And so I cut the tree up and I threw it over in the burn pile. We burned it. Everything was fine. But the one day of getting the stump out of the ground has never come yet. It's never been there. And so this spring, I happened to notice just the other day, I drove into my house, drove up the driveway, and I was like, man, those Bradford pears are blooming in the front yard. Man, that plum tree, or I don't even know what it is up there, it's blooming. And then I looked down at this little, no, it's peach tree. And then this little pear tree, that not a tree, it's just a stump, I looked and I was like, there are blooms coming off of that thing. That has all around the base of that tree, little shoots have shot up all around it. Now I'm going to have to mow around those stupid things. But you know how I feel about mowing around stuff. But those little shoots have come up, and there's buds on every single one of them. Looks like a little forsythia bush or something. It's just shoots going everywhere. But you know why? Because it's still connected. It was all still connected to the root system. It was all still connected to the life source that it had. And the rains that fell and the nutrients in the soil said, hey, guess what? We're not done yet. We can keep growing. And all these little shoots come out the sides. It's like that in our life with Jesus. If you'll stay connected to Him, it's going to show. And listen, sometimes connection doesn't look all fancy. Sometimes it's not pretty. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes you get blown over by the wind and your root wad gets sticking up out of the ground and you've got to cut some stuff off to let the root wad fall back in so that nutrients can get back in and life can happen. Sometimes things happen in life and you're like, man, I don't know why that happened. Well, God's going to use it. Justin, it's horrible though. I know it's horrible. God's going to use it. But Justin, you understand, man, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I know. And I promise you God's going to use it. I'm not saying it's going to ever be easy. I'm just saying He's going to use what you're going through. And if you'll stay connected to Jesus, at some point, those shoots are going to come out. At some point, buds are going to form again. At some point, you're going to see that growth again. When we share in the life of Jesus, He lives in us. Now, also understand this before we end. None of that stuff happens out of order. None of it. You can't say, you know what, I want Jesus, I'm going to read my Bible more, I'm going to stay connected to Him. That's what Paul tried to do, and he said that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to read my Bible and follow all the rules and do all this stuff. It wasn't ever enough. He said, I needed to crucify myself with Christ. I needed to understand His resurrection in my life, and then I could live for Jesus. So don't get that wrong. Don't think just because you're here at church this morning that everything's going to be okay. If you've not crucified your old life with Christ, you've not done the first step yet. You've not let Him nail your sins to a cross. You've not let Him push your old life, your old way of life away. You've not repented and turned to God and allowed Him to take care of you spiritually. And you can't just say, you know what, I like the power of resurrection. I like the forgiven sins and the power over sin and all the excitement that brings in my life. I like that feeling, but if you've not crucified yourself with Christ, allowed God to do that, and you've not done step number one yet, it all happens in order. You crucify, allow God to crucify your sins to that cross, because Jesus has already paid for them. Share in the crucifixion first, and then share in the power of the resurrection, that he comes and he forgives, and He gives you power over those sins, and then start living for Jesus. And all that happens pretty quickly. All that can happen real quickly, but it has to happen in that order. Don't get that out. Don't get that out of order. So where are you in that order? There's really only one place to be and be right, and that's with Jesus in your life, living for Him, because you put your old self on that cross beside Jesus. You allow God to nail your sins to that cross, because Jesus has already forgiven them. He's already paid for them. Trust in Him to forgive you like only He can. And then Him giving you that power over sin so that you can live a life for Him, so that you can share in that life. Have you crucified your old self to the cross this morning? Have you let God do that? Where it's no longer you that lives, but it's Him that lives inside of you, like Paul said. Have you allowed that to happen? If not, you need to give your life to Jesus today. You need to let him put those old sins behind you. It says in the Old Testament that God puts his sins behind our back. It says he removes them as far as the east is from the west. It says he puts them in the deepest part of the ocean. That's what it says in the Old Testament about sin. That's what God does when we trust him to forgive us. Maybe you have nailed your old self to a cross. Maybe you have put the old self aside, but you're just struggling to understand how you can have power over sin, how you can live this new life. You got to stay connected to him. You got to stay in his word. You got to walk in obedience as best you can and learn when you don't walk in obedience. Learn how to do it better the next time. Do you need to ask Jesus into your life today? Do you need to get back on track in one of those areas that you missed out on? Maybe you need to pray for somebody else you know that's struggling in one of those areas. I don't know what you're going through today, but Jesus does. And you've got a decision to make. I've got decisions to make this morning. How am I going to live more like Jesus today? And what section of that crucifixion, resurrection, and living the life with Jesus, what section of that am I in? You've got a decision to make this morning. So let's pray, and then we'll sing our closing song. And y'all can have time to pray or whatever you need to do during that. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful that you do what only you can do, Jesus. That you went to a cross for us because, not so we wouldn't have to, because we can't go to a cross for ourselves to forgive us of our sins. You did it, and you did it once for all. You died once for all people. The Lord, if we would trust you, if we put our faith in you, then by grace you would save us. Lord, we're thankful for that grace. Thankful that it didn't just stop at a crucifixion, but you showed your power over sin and death through a resurrection. And Lord, we can share in that as well. We can share in the resurrection. Share in the fact that you have power over sin. That we don't have to live in it anymore. That we can follow you and have a life that lives where sin is powerless over us, that's been defeated. And then Jesus, it doesn't just stop there. We get to live our whole lives connected to you. We get to share your life. And so Jesus, in all three of those areas, show us where we are, number one. And Lord, if we're not anywhere, if we need to turn our lives over to you, then save us this morning, Jesus. Help us not to leave here the same as what we walked in. And then Lord, if we're struggling in one of those areas, maybe it's living in your life, Lord, maybe it's understanding the resurrection power we have. Lord, you just guide us. You lead us. It's all because of you that we can face tomorrow. We're thankful for it, Jesus. Help us to live more like you each and every day. We love you. We ask all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Y'all stay.